Welcome everyone to today's webinar, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Websites. My name is Mario Kiriakou, and I'm working from Sitecore at the UK, and I'll be your moderator for today. We're recording today's webinar, and we will send attendees a link to the recorded presentation within a couple of days. We'll also provide a PDF of the PowerPoint slides. Feel free to share these with the colleagues that could not attend today's webinar. If you have any questions or comments during the live webinar, please post them in the dialog box on your webinar toolbar. That's the little chat box on the side of your screen, or via the Twitter discussion with hashtag Sitecore7Habits. After the presentation, we will provide a more in-depth look at Sitecore's web, CMS, and marketing software. This will not impact the main presentation in any way, but you can send us requests at any time during the presentation regarding what you would like to see covered during the demo. Presented on today's topic is Susie McKee, Sitecore Corporation's Senior Product Marketing Manager, and Chris Veazey, Business Development Manager for Sitecore in the UK. Susie McKee, Senior Product Marketing Manager, is responsible for go-to-market strategies and sales enablement cycles. Susie comes to Sitecore with a 20-year career in marketing and marketing consulting experience. Prior to joining Sitecore, she led the product marketing function at Marketo, a leader in marketing automation and revenue analytics, and Lyris, a leading email service provider. Moving on to our second presenter, with nearly 30 years' experience in the software industry, working for leading companies such as Lotus Development and IBM, Chris Veazey has developed a comprehensive understanding of the application of software to solve business problems. Now, as Business Development Manager at Sitecore UK, Chris's breadth of technical and business and online marketing experience enables him to present the full benefits of Sitecore's vision to its major corporate customers. Welcome, Susie and Chris.
Thank you, Mario, and welcome everyone, and thanks very much for joining us today. Today we're going to be talking about the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Websites, and this is one of our most popular webinars because as marketers we are always looking to be more effective. It's simply the nature of our function that we're constantly optimizing our spend, testing new programs, and trying to squeeze more results from our strategies. But many marketers don't include our company's website in that cycle. Forgive me, I advanced a little too far. Either we inherited a static site and we make incremental changes, or our site is viewed as a branding tool as opposed to a marketing tool that can generate real business results. Or maybe at your company, the website is still owned by IT and getting their time can be difficult. Whatever the reason, today you'll come away with some insight into new ways you can leverage your website to make it more effective so that it generates real results. So I'm not really going to be talking about technology today. I'll point out places where some technology can help you, but this is really a new way of thinking and a mental shift in how to approach our websites and get more from your current infrastructure and existing investments, let alone what else you can be doing. So we'll go over each of the 7 habits in detail so you can evaluate whether that habit is right for you. And you'll learn how to put the habit into practice because we're going to show you examples of real sites that exemplify each habit today. So just a word about who Sitecore is and why we're bringing this to you today. Sitecore began in 1999, and we're best known for our web content management software. As ownership of the website has shifted from IT to marketing, and as the web has become central to all online marketing, Sitecore has been integrating many of the most common online marketing tools and channels into a single online marketing suite. Sitecore has offices all around the world with 700 certified partners, and we've got currently over 2,000 customers rely on Sitecore to create and manage nearly 25,000 websites. Okay, so all or most of you are probably familiar with Stephen Covey and his 7 Habits series. I even have the 7 Habits for Effective Families, and when I read both of his books, I came away with some really good ideas that I was able to put into practice right away. But some of the habits, while absolutely good in practice, didn't make sense for me at the time. And every once in a while, when a circumstance would change, I'd pick up the books again. And a habit that previously didn't resonate suddenly can become very powerful because my situation changed. So my point is simply that some of these habits will resonate more with your situation today than others, and some may need to be put on the back burner for now, and that's okay. As marketers, we always need to be prioritizing our efforts, and the same applies here. So we'll talk more about this toward the end, but Mr. Covey's seventh habit is around sharpening the saw, which refers to continually improving our effectiveness. And I would argue that the marketing function is all about sharpening the saw, because we're always testing and refining to optimize our efforts. But if we aren't testing and refining in the right areas, if we aren't already practicing some of the first six habits, we get caught in a cycle of frustrating efforts that don't produce the results we need. So what we're going to do today is share with you our view on the seven habits of highly effective websites. And for each habit, my colleague Chris will share with you an example of a site that's demonstrating the habit. So no theories here. You're going to see real sites led by marketers who are living the habits, deploying them on their websites, and generating real results. Okay, so first I want to start out with a simple question. If you had a single resource, let's call it a magic box, that could increase the attention of your customers, increase the number of qualified leads coming in the door, could make your customers more loyal, and make it cheaper to support them, if you had this tool that could shorten the sales cycle and make your sales team more effective, if you had that magic box, would you use it? Well, of course you would. It's a rhetorical question, but what happens today is that even in the largest organizations that Sitecore talks to on a daily basis, many businesses are still failing to harness the potential of their websites. And I'll spend a lot of time talking about external facing sites, but these concepts also apply to intranets, partner extranets, or channel-based websites. It's all about making these sites more effective. So the reality is, we don't think of our sites as strategic business applications. And I think that stems from the beginnings of the web, when the main goal of a site was to put your brochureware up so it was easily accessible. For some of us, it was even to save on printing costs. The value of the web was in its accessibility. No one knew how to harness their website to retain customers or generate new leads or nurture leads through to a sale, because really, very few of our prospects or customers were using the web that way either. And of course, there isn't a business today that doesn't have a website, and the opportunities to extract value out of a business website have multiplied also, yet many of us are still stuck in an old mental model. So you're going to hear me talk a lot about this, and I'm hoping that you'll really start to rethink your web presence. And I'd like you to put on a new lens and look at your website as a business application. We all use plenty of other applications in our jobs as marketers, CRM systems, email marketing, content management systems, e-commerce systems. All of these are tools we use on a regular basis to help achieve specific goals. And I know all of you are under pressure to meet very specific goals. Use the seven habits of highly effective websites to help create that new lens. My goal is to help you see and leverage the immense value you can get from your company's web presence if you view it in this new light. Okay, before we get into the first habit, we are going to start with a quick poll. So Mario, can you please put the poll up? Today, what is keeping you from making your website more effective? Excuse me. So go ahead and mark your answers and check as many as apply to you. For many of you, it may be that you don't feel you have budget or the right people. Some of you won't have the tools at your disposal, although I suspect that many of you have some tools in your content management system that you're not using today. Some of you may not have the time, or you know what to do, but it seems overwhelming and you don't know where to start. So don't worry if many of these answers apply. Go ahead and check them off. And I'm betting that after our session today, you'll be able to cross at least some of these items off your list. Okay, Mario, how are we looking?
Okay, we've got what prevents you from using your website effectively was a quick poll question. 45% insufficient budget, 66% lack of staff resources and expertise, 38% technology platform has limited capabilities, 14% insufficient understanding of our customers' view, and 41% not sure where to focus and start.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for providing those answers. And hopefully, as we go through this session today, you'll see how you can check some of these off your list or at least get some insight in how you can address some of these challenges. Okay, so let's go to habit number one. Your customers are in charge. So this isn't the same as your customer is always right. What it means is that your customer or your website visitor determines what they need on your site. They enter your site with very specific goals, and you can't force feed them anything that is irrelevant to their needs. So it's our job as marketers to listen and respond to our visitors' needs. Sounds obvious, I realize, but most of us aren't actually using our website to do that. I know what you're thinking. You've got analytics, and that's going to give you a lot of the answers. But whether you use Google Analytics or have invested in a more expensive analytics tool, the reality is that while most tools will give you a ton of data, they're merely reporting on what's happened in the past and leave it up to you to wade through the data and decide how to apply it in the future. There's so much data, you may even have a dedicated staff member whose sole job is to wade through it. Today's analytics tools don't align with the immediacy of the web and the experience visitors want to have at your site. Maybe you use focus groups to listen to your customers, which is great, or conduct surveys or polls, or you may have an online community that provides insight, and I'll talk more about community later. But the idea here is that you need to be setting up listening posts, and your website is a critical listening post that provides insight into exactly what your customers' goals are on your site and what they want. But let's take it a step further. What if you could listen to your website visitors and adapt the content in real time to give them exactly what they need? It's possible today. So now we're talking about our site more as a business application. So if you think of your site as a business application that helps you learn about your customers and their needs and then adapt to those needs right away, can you see value there? Compelling, relevant content is what draws visitors to your site and keeps them and draws them further along the buying cycle. If you're not measuring your content and how it's being consumed on a daily basis and then adjusting the content you're providing, you're missing out on a tremendous opportunity. When you let the visitor drive and when you serve them content specific to their buying role, that person keeps coming back. You create more loyalty, you create repeat traction, repeat business, especially if you're in a business with a long sales cycle and you have different roles from the same company, all with unique needs visiting your site multiple times over an extended period. Okay, Chris, let's take a look at a site where the visitor is in charge.
Thanks for that, Susie. Yeah, our first customer, we've got a whole set of international case studies to talk about today. The first customer example we've got for you is Blackmores. Blackmores is Australia's leading natural health brand and community, and it's dedicated to natural health and well-being. The company provides a, could you just go back on that slide, Susie?
Yeah.
Just to give you a look at the homepage. Natural health brand and community dedicated to natural health and well-being. Company provides a wide range of products and services from vitamins to health-related goal-setting tools. So you can imagine that there's a wealth of information there that's very specific to specific people at specific places in their health regime. So Blackmores understands that customers are in charge. So let's just talk a little bit about how Blackmores' customer intimacy journey. So back in around 2005, 2006, Blackmores was applying a mass marketing approach with some degree of success, you know, one size fits all. But a couple of years later, they started to apply a more targeted marketing approach. For example, they developed personas, and they started communicating with types of people just versus markets. So since 2009, Blackmores has become more of a one-to-one marketing organization, and they provide a very high degree of personalization. You can see in this chart where they came from and the obvious shift in strategy. So why did Blackmores make this shift? Well, it's all about being more relevant. Blackmores recognizes that each customer or community member has very specific needs and preferences. They cater to these unique needs across a wide range of digital channels, including web, email, forums, social media, including Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, and YouTube, and of course, mobile. Now, community is key for Blackmores to listen and learn about their customers' needs and their preferences in real time, and to engage in more conversational communications. Each member can set up a profile, including a well-being goal. And this acts as a trigger to help drive appropriate content and engagement. You also get a sense of empowerment from these community examples. Members are empowered to learn, to connect with others, start conversations, do research, seek advice, buy products, track their progress, and more. Now, Blackmores has achieved a lot in their customer journey approach and are very successful today because of it. Their customer loyalty is apparent and is very significant. A case in point, there's a thing called a Net Promoter Score, NPS, and that's all about brand preference and how willing people are to recommend a brand like Blackmores to other people. Companies achieve a high NPS, Net Promoter Score, when there's a high degree of customer satisfaction and trust, something I'm sure we all want with our customers. Now, Blackmores has a very high NPS of 79, similar to some of the most recognizable brands in the world, like Amazon, eBay, Apple, and Harley-Davidson. Now, that's pretty impressive. Thanks, Susie.
Thank you, Chris. Blackmores is a fantastic example. We're always excited to share that out with folks and show you their success and the goals that they've been able to reach. Okay, let's look at habit number two, which is implement your site with consistency and goals. Now, I realize this seems a bit obvious. Of course, you have goals for your site. All sites are built with specific goals in mind. But really, these goals are often so nonspecific and unmeasurable, they really don't achieve much of anything. So back to thinking about your website as a business application. What are the business outcomes you want to achieve? If your site wasn't created with specific goals in mind, the chances are that your site will achieve any goals that are worthwhile to your business are pretty slim. We all know by now that hope is not a strategy and that we measure what we are truly invested in. Many businesses are still treating their websites as a loose collection of pages, almost single-dimension marketing literature. And even some of the biggest companies you can think of are still looking at their websites merely as brochureware. Yet in reality, none of us buys one-size-fits-all clothing, and by treating all visitors the same, these companies are missing out on a huge opportunity. The web is extremely powerful for engagement, engaging with visitors informally to nurture them through to their goals. They're not talking to a salesperson, and they don't want to yet. Your website is a wonderful place to talk to the prospect in their language, warming them up. As website visitors, we all have unique needs. And if you've read anything about the long tail and the whole notion of microsegments, there's a whole new genre of just being able to deliver segment-based content with targeted calls to action, speaking directly to the visitor's needs. So at your company, what are the goals for your website? How are you trying to generate leads? What are the best leads and the best prospects, and what do they look like? What language do they speak in? What are their needs? Then structure your content and your site around those needs. Think about your segments and understand exactly what they're trying to get out of your site. Then every piece of content, every piece of functionality should all be driving toward those goals. So I would challenge you to write out your goals on big pieces of paper and post them so everyone who contributes to your website on your team can see them. Everything they do, every conversation they have, every activity should center around supporting those goals. Now, again, I know some of this sounds obvious, but many of us don't bother to put in this effort when in reality the benefits are very clear. A daily focus on those overall goals for your site produces massive conversion rate improvements. So, Chris, let's take a look at a site that exemplifies consistency and goals.
Thanks, Susie. So the site we've chosen is Mazda. Company that makes vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, lorries, and so on. Now, what Mazda have done, they've put themselves in the shoes of the customer, and they provide them with relevant information that address four distinct but related goals, kind of in the map onto the buying process. So understanding the range of vehicles available, requesting a brochure, booking a test drive, and finding a dealer. So these four goals are obvious, if you like, when you're looking to purchase a new vehicle. And these goals kind of travel through the website, and they touch the brand and on the web and with mobile and in social. Now, social is very important to Mazda communities. They provide support for forums, discussions, interaction with other Mazda enthusiasts via photo sharing and so on. They give a great level of engagement, so enables Mazda to listen to their customers and to like-minded people, and they really encourages sharing and word of mouth, all supporting these four core site goals. Mazda's interaction online with prospective buyers and current customers really gives Mazda dealers more insight into specific purchasers' needs. This really helps Mazda personnel to better serve people at the point of sale and really puts Mazda in the driver's seat, if you'll forgive the pun, as presents them as informed and trusted advisors for new and existing customers. Okay, thanks, Susie.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. So now let's move on to habit number three, which is balance user experience with site goals. So if habit number one is that the customer is in charge, and habit number two is that you need to have your business goals in mind, how do you rationalize those? How do you balance those habits, which are seemingly at odds? Your customer has their goals, and you have your business goals. Well, really what we're talking about is win-win. It's simply impossible for one goal to exist without the other, and they're actually interdependent. So if your visitor is having an experience that helps them meet their goals, you will, by default, meet your business goals. And if your website is successfully helping your business to meet its goals, then by default, it's because customers are meeting their goals on your site. That's the beauty of win-win. You can create that alignment on your website. If you've done a really great job of understanding all the things your visitor or customer or prospect wants to experience and do on your site, and you're able to create value for them every time they're interacting with you, you're moving them towards your business goal. So imagine if you're actively listening and can anticipate their needs, maybe even offer them content they didn't know they needed, but that helps them meet a certain goal. You create an amazing amount of goodwill when you can do that. Aligning your business's desired outcomes with those of your prospects makes your prospects part of the experience itself, and that drives tremendous loyalty. It can get to the point where people will talk about it to each other. And when you can anticipate and delight your visitors, they'll talk about it with their peers, which helps drive more visitors to your site. It's also going to lower your cost of doing business. It's going to lower the friction of mistrust and help to reduce any perceived risk, because if you start to delight your prospect, they will start to trust you. They will become more open. They will talk about you on their own networks. And I'll talk more about social media later, but this goes way beyond goodwill. This type of activity can generate net new business and drastically shorten the buying cycle. So, Chris, let's take a look at a website that does a great job of balancing user experiences with site goals.
Okay, Susie. Well, the site we've chosen for this is Manchester City Football Club. If there are any Manchester United supporters out there, apologies, but they also use Sitecore as well. Anyway, Manchester City Football Club. For those of you who don't know, they're a superb team, really doing very well in the Premier League at the moment. They've just released this new website. And this provides a very interesting case study about balancing user experience and site goals. And in this case, the site goals map very closely onto Manchester City's business goals. So, not long ago, Manchester City wanted to dramatically improve their website design. I think, as you'll agree, they've really done that, making it the best in class, their industry. And they wanted to revitalize and expand the local brand for a global fan community. So they made the whole football web experience just much more cool and fun, and they invigorated fans all over the world by, for example, providing the ability to personalize clothing through highly interactive merchandising right from the website. Another example of how Manchester City balances user experience with site or business goals is the ability for fans to choose a seat and purchase a ticket by first getting a sense of how the seat feels in the stadium right from the browser. So there they are picking the seat, and they can actually then see a bird's eye view with rich media on how their experience at the stadium is going to actually play out. So this is a really powerful influence that drives ticket sales and really gets fans looking forward to their on-field experience to come. Now, this level of interaction and excitement is really infectious. It's often shared with others via social media or word of mouth. Thanks, Susie.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, we are on to habit number 4, which is deliver value to your website visitors. Another way to say this is value for value. If you're going to ask your visitors for information online, if you ever ask someone for any kind of information online, please, please, please give them value right back. I'll give you this example. I use this analogy because it was such an irritating experience. So a while back, I bought a vacuum cleaner online. And after I purchased it, I went online, filled out the registration form, Susie McKee, here's my address, here's where I bought my vacuum cleaner, here's the serial number, which I really had to search for to find, by the way, so it took a little bit of effort. I answered some questions about how I used the vacuum. I filled all this information out on a big form, hit submit, and I was just kind of waiting for some good stuff. And I got back a plain white page that said, thank you for registering, we appreciate your information. And that was it. And I thought, what? I just gave them some really valuable information, my information, and it took some time and effort on my part, and they did nothing with it. So they really squandered this opportunity and really left me feeling kind of foolish, like I had just wasted my time. And even worse, I had no idea where my information went or what it's going to be used for. Because when someone gives your business information through your website, whether they're registering, logging in, answering a survey, anything where they're giving you value, you must reciprocate. You must provide value right back. So what could this manufacturer have done? They could have said, we hope you're enjoying your Vacuumatic 2000, and by the way, here's a couple of articles you may be interested in on how to clean the filters. Or they could have provided a video on how to get to the filter inside my vacuum. They also could have said, here's contact info for some local dealers in case you need replacement parts, because I've given them my address, so that's all they had to do. If you do this, provide value immediately that also demonstrates how you will use the information. It generates tremendous goodwill, yet it happens so infrequently. And in reality, it's not that hard to do. So if you take one thing away from this presentation, please do this. Look at every form on your website, every place where you gather visitor information, and ask, are we giving enough value in return? Are we demonstrating how we are utilizing that information and driving value back to the visitor? Are we in a one-sided relationship with visitors to our site, or are we adding and contributing value right back? If you do this, you will create collaboration with your visitor. Customers will continue to give you information. They'll tell you all sorts of things because they know that you respect them, as demonstrated by the ongoing value that you provide. It gives you tremendous opportunity to build relationships based on respect, mutual respect. They're giving you information, you're giving value right back. You demonstrate you value them and their information. And I can't emphasize that enough, it's so important. So Chris, I know you have a great example of a site that delivers value back to its visitors in exchange for information.
Yeah, we do, Susie. This is a website called LifeScript. Now, as Susie mentioned, if you're going to ask for something from a prospect or current customer with your goal, obviously, of generating more revenue, you've got to give something of value back. Now, LifeScript, based in Southern California, really wants to be the number one website dedicated to women's health. They provide practical, female-friendly content on diet and fitness, weight loss, anti-aging, relationships, family health, and a whole host of other topics. They're both a publisher and a community, and they generate revenue from advertising and managing successful opt-in relationships with subscribers. They rely heavily on email marketing. They've got a number of specialized newsletters, publishing content from editors that cover a number of topics, success stories from real people, and social media engagement, including their Health Bistro blog. And they've got Facebook and Twitter sites. Organic search on the site is key to finding thousands of articles and many experts behind the scenes. So they deliver value to their website visitors by providing high-quality content and portal-like user experiences to all their subscribers, numbering in the millions. Opt-in relationships based on preferences then enable LifeScript to provide a tremendous amount of focused, personalized value to their online subscribers and to their advertising partners. Okay, thanks, Susie.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, let's move on to habit number 5. Be honest. What is and is not working? So nobody likes failure. Nobody likes to admit when something isn't working. But I challenge all of you to really start looking for the holes in your website and find out where your site is not working. Find out exactly where the problems are. One of the really smart things I've seen is this notion of failure tracking. So, of course, analytics has goal tracking and campaign tracking, but what about failure tracking? What about experience failure tracking? Who has identified on their website all the places where your visitors have failed to get what they need? When was the last time you looked up search results and where the search engines generated zero results? Those are failures. How many times have you looked at 404 errors, the page not found errors on your website? Even if you have a content management system that makes sure you don't have broken links, people can still type your URL wrong. People can type it wrong on Google. A partner can link to your site and have the wrong URL. Wouldn't you like to know that? And shouldn't you know that? And when those failures happen, there's always an opportunity to come back. So let's say your site has a search engine and there was a failure, that your visitor searched for something and didn't actually get a result back. Wouldn't it be great if you could provide some recommendations instead? Well, we didn't find those results for you, but there are links to the, here are some links to the most popular pieces of content on our site. So sure, your visitor didn't get the exact answers they were looking for, but rather than let them experience a failure, try to turn it around. Another site I saw recently I thought was just brilliant. I searched on Google, and at the very top of the page it said, here's the page you clicked on from Google, but we noticed you came from Google, and these were the keywords you used, so we just did a quick search on our search engine on the site, and here are a couple of other things you can look at. Again, this is simple technology. We can all do this, and I'm sure every one of you has that capability right now in your CMS system to help you actually implement this. So that's really smart. The site may have failed at the original goal, but it created a couple more reasons for me to stay a little bit longer. So just a simple example could help you improve the chances your visitor is going to stick around. And again, that's about maximizing conversion rates, generating leads, and servicing and delighting the customer even more. So my point here is to find out what your visitors are trying to do on your site, but can't get to. Have an actual program in place that IDs where the holes are in your site, and maybe even come up with a compensation plan so that when people find experience failures, give them something, reward them, and instrument your site so people can tell you about it. Make sure you're listening to feedback so they can tell you what's working. Put ratings on your pages. Let people comment on your site. And I know we're all terrified that our customers or visitors are going to tell us bad things about us, but you're better off knowing about it now and doing something about it than sticking your head in the sand. So help your visitors learn to do business with you. Customers quit because they don't think you care. Show them you care and that you're trying to make it better, that you're listening, because that alone will help you with customer turnover. Okay, Chris, let's look at an example of a site that exemplifies this habit.
Yeah, okay, Susie. Well, let me introduce Duck Brand. They're not a company selling ducks, as you might suspect. They're actually duct tape. I'm sure we've all used that in our time. So Duck Brand, it's a well-known, they're well-known for delivering quality products and value in lots of different product categories, do-it-yourself, stationery, housewares, and so on. And they've been doing that for about 20 years, but they've recently updated their website to consolidate the promotions and online marketing messages. But they did that based on a lot of user feedback and insight into where their site wasn't working. So, for example, there's an extensive FAQ based on questions for customers, but it didn't just based on questions for customers just in email and so on. It actually came through looking at what searches were taking place on their site where there was no information to satisfy that search. So clearly that tells them what people need to know about their product and what they didn't have. They also use email and forms and calls from customers to monitor questions, to get feedback, and they obviously include that in their website design as well. So they really sense what the visitors and customers are looking for and adapt their website to provide that. There is a good search function on there, but you can be rest assured that if you do search for something on the Duck Brand website and you can't find it, they'll know about it and they'll put it on the website for you. So that sort of exemplifies an organization that listens to their customers' activities through the website and uses that to improve their visitors' experience. Thanks a lot, Susie.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, let's move on to habit number 6, which is create ongoing dialogue with your customers. So this habit is related closely to habit number 1, understanding your customer. Your website presents a really amazing opportunity for you to understand what's going on with your customer base. This is a rich environment for you to engage with that customer, understand what they're asking for, where you think they need to improve. You can also build those champions. You can create moments of delight and exceed their expectations, and those champions can go out in the marketplace and spread your message. So you need to be thinking about how to make it easy for them to do that. Add a share bar that can let them connect a piece of content out to 20 other different sites. There are very simple technologies you can do that let them repurpose the content out to tagging sites, maybe like Delicious. There's a technology called Share This that you can plug into your website that lets you repurpose the content out to any website. So think about nurturing, too. Nurturing is really this idea that over many visits, you're moving your message forward incrementally. Because every time a visitor comes back to you, you know what you told them the last time. You know what they were looking for, where in your site they spent time, so that on the next visit, you can tell them something a little more relevant and specific to their needs. So, Mario, why don't we put up our second poll? And what I'd like to do before we look at a site that's really living this habit of creating ongoing dialogue with customers, let's do a poll around which social media channels you're integrating with today. So if you can just check off as many on the list as apply, and we'll give it about 30 seconds, and then take a look at the results. What I find is interesting, depending on what region where we are doing this webinar, this list changes. So even though we think we're dealing in a global marketplace, even the social media sites that are most common in different regions do tend to change. Okay, Mario, how are we looking with the results?
Okay. We have here 64% Facebook, we've got 75% use Twitter, 56% YouTube, 17% Flickr, and 14% for Dig and Delicious.
Okay. All right, so Chris, why don't we take a look at a site that exemplifies this habit really well?
Okay, Susie. It's really interesting, this site, there's not actually just one site, it's a collection of sites that actually map an ongoing relationship with the visitor, with the customer. The first of the sites is The Knot. The Knot, that's a very reputable wedding preparation publisher and community. They provide tons of value for that very stressful day, including advice, products, services, planning tools, and so on. Obviously, make people. This is a very special day for people, and they want to get it right. And this provides a host of really, really useful information. They use a wide variety of content and engagement tactics via their web, via email, print, and social and mobile to help people start to manage and share important conversations and tips around wedding plans and experiences. Great, but the wedding is not the last thing in this ongoing relationship, because after you've tied the knot, it's time to build the nest. Let me just move the slide on. So the knot recognizes that life takes on a whole new meaning after the wedding. Oh, they're right there, aren't they? So the knot applies a life phase approach to extend customer engagement and lifetime values as couples start thinking about buying a home and building their home for themselves. So the knot blends with the nest. The knot blends with the nest and applies similar content and marketing strategies across the nest, print, and web experiences. Now, after the marriage, after the home, what usually inevitably comes is a bump. So the Bump is a website to help pregnant women, and this is a whole thing is a life phase or integrated marketing approach that really extends conversations with customers over time, and also revolves around three significant roles that many adults need help managing. That's sharing the wedding day and building the home for the family and future, and navigating pregnancy in the early days of raising children. So the knot, the nest, and the bump really work very well together and create an ongoing dialogue over time with customers and really increases their lifetime value from each customer. And this approach really pays dividends in terms of their marketing effectiveness and the ROI this organization gets from this process of websites. Okay, thanks a lot, Susie.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, we are at habit number 7, which is sharpening your website saw. So as I mentioned in the beginning, I think marketers are living this habit all the time. We're constantly testing and refining, moving budgets to what's working, and decreasing spend in areas that aren't performing. So it's a little bit art and a whole lot of science now that most of our marketing is online and can be measured. Nobody installs an application in your business and leaves it static, so your website is no different. And one of the best things you can do is create renewal techniques where you're testing messaging and testing concepts, conducting A/B split testing, multivariate testing, testing out messaging. Is this message better than that one? Is this color palette better than that one? Which is leading to better conversion rates? Which of those are leading to better conversion rates by this segment? Which segment message is resonating stronger in which categories? Which campaigns are you running on your site that resonate strongest with different marketing segments that you're after? So start to measure. More and more, these capabilities are starting to make their way into traditional content management frameworks and other applications. So right now, we're seeing this emergence of enterprise marketing management platforms. There's a huge convergence in the industry between going on right now between web analytics, web content management, marketing automation, lead nurturing. All of these tools are coming together and converging into a single application, which is great news for marketers because no longer do we have to stitch together 15 different tools to try and get a single cohesive view of our customer online. And as a marketer, you're now getting harder metrics of what's working by segment, by all sorts of different facets, and that you can make better decisions. You can optimize your spend. Whatever your outcomes are on your website, you're fine-tuning and optimizing that story. So again, sharpening the saw is a really important point. So Chris, let's take a look at a site that exemplifies this habit.
Yeah, and that's going to be Dollar Rent-A-Car. Dollar Rent-A-Car, as you probably know, they're all about providing exceptional value to budget-conscious travelers. And they want to make the car rental experience convenient for both consumers and business people by providing useful online tools on their website. I also recognize they can continually improve the online and in-person experience if they understand the segmentation, they test campaigns, they get geo-targeting, all based on information provided by the customers when they're choosing a car from their website. For example, Dollar Rent-A-Car knows that certain cars will be more appealing to specific segments in different countries and regions of countries based on geographical terrain, the income of the population, temperature, the city life or rural settings, and so on. So there's a wealth of demographic information and website interaction that Dollar uses to fine-tune and deliver content to make it most appealing to customers. So Dollar Rent-A-Car is a great example of the sharpening your saw habit, and I'd say it gives a real business advantage to Dollar, given that the rental market is so competitive. This is an important point to make because creating and maintaining a competitive advantage is always a challenge, especially in a tough economy. But your website and operating practices behind the scenes, like the 7 habits we've just gone through, can certainly improve your competitive position today and going forward. Thanks, Susie.
Thank you, Chris. All right, so those are the 7 habits. Your customers are in charge and in the lead, not you. You need to implement your site goals with consistency and balance them with user experiences. You need to always be delivering value back to your visitors. You need to be honest about where the holes are and where you need to improve. and you need to create that ongoing two-way dialogue to constantly optimize and sharpen your website SAW. So I'll leave you with a couple of points, and then we'll roll into questions. So think about your websites as business applications. They're not merely a collection of loosely affiliated pages. Your site is an application, and when you start to think that way, you'll start to extract more value. It will change the way you approach your site. There are a lot of technologies out there that we've mentioned: content management, search, web analytics, marketing automation. All of these support the concept, but begin, and here's another Coveyism, with the end in mind. The end that you want is a highly effective website that delivers real results. So name those results, and then look at what tools and techniques and business processes you need to achieve those goals. Okay, Mario, why don't we go to some questions?
Hey, Susie and Chris. We've had some great questions come in during the presentation. I'd like to encourage you to continue submitting questions using the webinar toolbar throughout this Q&A, or you can continue using Twitter at hashtag SiteCall7Habits. If your questions are not answered, we will follow up with you on an individual basis. As a reminder, after the Q&A, we'll be providing a demo of SiteCall CMS and marketing software for anyone who would be interested in a more in-depth look at SiteCall software. Okay, let's have a look to see the questions coming in. Okay, this is I think a good one to start off with. I think this is for Susie. How do we choose which habits or habits to focus on, Susie?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'll say there is no easy answer, just because it completely depends on your unique situation. But really, the best place to start is to sit down with your team and get clear on what your goals are for your site. So your site goals should feed up to support your marketing goals, which in turn obviously support the overall business goals. So once you do that, once you have a clear understanding of what your goals are, then you can do an assessment of your current technology to see what's available that you may not be leveraging, and that's probably the lowest hanging fruit, is that potentially you've got some tools at your disposal that you're not using right now. And then a side benefit to this process, even though it's going to be a bit challenging, is that you end up with a very strong business case if you do need additional tools, because you can demonstrate how those tools will support a specific goal. So remember, too, the intent is not for you to pick up on all these habits at once. Start small, get some success. You need to prove the value, and then work up from there. And often, just the shift in mindset where you start to view your site as a business application will make all the difference in the world.
Thank you, Susie. Let's go on to another question. Let's have a look. I think for Chris, this one. I see all of your case studies are for B2C companies, for the most part, but do these seven habits apply for B2B websites, and how might they differ, Chris?
Yeah, good one. Okay, let me just go back to my notes and have a look at the seven habits. Okay, your customer's in charge. Providing relevant content to them, segmenting information, that's all relevant to B2C and B2B. Clearly in B2B, you're going to have probably a wider range of different types of people. Just thinking about SiteCall, we've got developers, we've got technical infrastructure people, we've got marketing, we've got C-level executives. So we need to understand who our visitors are and what kind of information they need. Really segment the information and provide compelling, relevant content to the visitors. And maybe even having an information architecture to suit each. So that's one customer's in charge. Number two, goals. The journey, you need to understand, obviously, in a B2B relationship, it's going to be a much more involved, longer decision-making process. There are certain decision points in that process where particular information is needed, information is needed to close and to move on to the next one. So I think, again, it's understanding the decision-making process that a visitor goes through, and providing them with the information, also obviously providing with access to real people as well at every time. User experience, delighting your customers and prospects, well, of course, that's just as valid for business people as well. And making sure, again, strikes back to the previous comments, making sure you got the right kind of information on there, rather than having people call you up for information that they're less likely to do than just browse on your website to find stuff. So make sure you can provide the right information they're needing to really lower the cost of business. Also, in terms of providing the right information at the right time, if they do give you some information, this would be habit number four, delivering value, there's a whole bunch of stuff you can deliver on B2B. Videos, white papers, thought pieces, industry analyst reports, all this kind of stuff. So there's a whole host of good value stuff that really supports the sales process as well for the visitors. Understand what's going wrong on your website, of course. That's just as relevant for B2B as it is B2C. Getting some good qualitative experience metrics and using that to improve the experience. Building an ongoing dialogue with the customers. Yeah, absolutely, because their needs change over time from certainly, even from just when they're a prospect to actually when they're a customer and their continuing use of your product over time. So that applies as well. And, of course, you want to test out, habit number seven, test out the different versions of presentation of information and the way in which people interact. Get some metrics on how well they're performing and choose the best. So, sharpening your website saw by really understanding what works best and building that in, now that's just as relevant to B2B as well. So I think there's a high degree of commonality. Probably the biggest difference is the type of people and the range and scope of information that they need. But I'd say the seven habits are very, very applicable to B2B as well.
Thank you very much, Chris. I think we've got time for one last question before we move on to the demo. Let's have a look. We go for this question. How much information should I ask a customer for? When do I cross the line and ask for too much information? I think we're going to throw this across to Susie for the last one.
Yeah, I'll take that one. It's a great question and very, very common. But the great thing about your website is you can always be testing these things. So there's no reason to put up a form and leave it there for 3 months and wonder why people aren't filling it out. So you can always test different forms to see which generates a better response. But don't just think about how much information you are asking people for. Think about where in the relationship you're asking for it too. So as a B2B example, say someone is downloading a white paper for the first time from your site, and it's perfectly acceptable to ask for their name, their email address. And, of course, after they download that paper, you're going to send them an email offering them something else, maybe another white paper. And when they come back to download that one, you can pre-populate the information that you've already learned and then ask them something else. So you can, as an example, ask for their title and maybe give them a list of business issues and ask them to check off which apply to them. So even just those two questions can provide tremendous value, but you're not asking for a ton of information and it's not intrusive. So with many CMS systems, you can ask for information progressively as you get to know the visitors better. And again, going back to if they trust you're going to provide value in exchange, people are more likely to share that information with you. So just, think about, I would say, quality more than quantity and, only ask for what you need and do it very thoughtfully.
Okay, thank you very much, Susie. That's the last of the questions. And thank you, everyone, for participating in today's webinar. As a reminder, we will email you the link to this presentation, including the PDF, so you can view it again and share with colleagues. We're now going to turn the controls over to Chris, who will take a closer look at some of the core features of Sycle's CMS and marketing software. Unfortunately, given the time available, we won't have any chance to take any specific questions. Could I suggest if you would like to learn more about Sycle and CMS,